You're listening to The Final Stand with Pastor John.
Hello, this is Pastor John, and welcome to The Final Stand podcast. If you hear background noises, those are little chicks. I have full-grown hens, but I've got also some chicks in the background, so can't get rid of that sound in the background because I'm in my little cabin office now doing the program in the back here on the ministry grounds. Anyways, I'm going to get in today to talking about a scripture and putting, you know, I'm going to flesh it out. That is, I'm going to not just have it something that is like, how would you put it, ethereal, but we're going to give it some flesh. In other words, we're going to make it more tangible, practical, not ambiguous. So let's go to the scripture, if you're ready. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This also know, have this revelation or this understanding or discern this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I think we could all agree that that is the situation that we have now in the United States of America and throughout the earth. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. I'm going to say something each time after I read one of these. I'd say narcissistic, correct. Covetous, I'd say narcissistic, correct. Boasters, I would say narcissistic, correct. Proud, I would say narcissistic, correct. Now it says blasphemers. I think these might just be straight out heathens and not necessarily in the mindset of being selfish or non-selfish, but at the same time, and I would connect narcissism to selfishness. Then he said disobedient to parents. I would think that that is selfishness or narcissism. Unthankful, definitely narcissism. Okay, or selfishness, the same word to me, actually, in its etymology. Then he says unholy, which I think could be the same thing, but it might just be heathenism. Some people don't even comprehend the ideal of selfishness. They're all selfish, actually, every single one of these things, actually. But sometimes they don't appear to be selfish because of the person's worldview. Okay, without natural affection. Well, I would consider that selfish. Truce breakers, another translation says covenant breakers. False accusers, well, false accusers, that's definitely selfish. Incontent, that's selfish. That means never content. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, haughty-minded, I'd say selfish. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, I'd say selfish, narcissistic. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, you read all that and you say, what is the power of God? Now, some people, I'm a Pentecostal, would say it's the Holy Spirit. But we understand, according to the book of Acts, that Jesus says that you, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power to become witnesses. The Holy Spirit doesn't override your will or put it in default that you automatically walk in the Spirit. You walking in the Spirit is an action of your will. People that are baptized with the Holy Spirit, not baptized with the Holy Spirit, can obey the Holy Spirit. That's true. And they can walk after the dictates of the Holy Spirit. So that's something that we don't want to get confused about. Now, the blessed baptism of the Holy Spirit, I think every Christian should have it. I feel the power and the presence of God many times. When I seek the Lord, I mean, even saying when I say many times, I mean, I felt it today. I'm just so used to being experiencing the presence of God when I intercede or praise or worship that it's just become, you know, just a regular part of my life. To recognize the Spirit or the presence of God in my life. Maybe I'm very blessed. I don't know. But I think it's available for every person on the face of the earth personally. And I think you ought to seek the baptism on the Holy Spirit so you can have power to preach or to teach or evangelize or to prophesy or to speak in tongues. Okay? I think that's true. Okay, so let's keep on going here. So it says having a form. Now there it means a semblance or appearing as religious. We see people go to churches, they got a bumper sticker, I love Jesus, on the back of their car, they carry a 10-pound Bible, pardon me, I'm speaking in tongues, I'm talking about that, they carry a 10-pound Bible, and they wear a cross on themselves. So in every sense, they look like Christians. They resemble or they have a facsimile of what a Christian would be. They appear to be a Christian. We're gone to the Koine Greek, and so that's what we're talking about here, is what this word means. They have a form. They have an appearance. that they are godly, but they deny the power of godliness. From such turn away. Now he goes on, he says, for of these sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity, silly women led with sin, led away by diverse lusts. Now these guys like John MacArthur, they just go in and they start real gigantic churches. So they've crept into the mainstream, but it's because it's the last day. So we've got a lot of false prophets like these people. Charles Stanley, John MacArthur, and such false prophets. Okay, so now he says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're like a dog chasing their tail. The truth sets you free, but they never get free. Okay, so what is the power of godliness? Well, if we just go to what Jesus said, and we go there, and Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Okay. Now, this is a very important passage. One second, y'all. Didn't realize I didn't have my internet connection all set up correctly there. That might affect some stuff, but not a problem. Jesus, let me say that again. He said, if any man wants to come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. All right, there we go. Now, here we go. Let's make it real for you. That's Matthew 16:24. What does this have to do with Timothy? Well, we're going to get into what it has to do with Timothy. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whosoever, that means you or I, or anyone, wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself. That word self there is the word psuche. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. You can't be a narcissist. You got to deny yourself if you're going to follow Jesus. And so you understand that it's not an option, denying yourself. In other words, you cannot follow Jesus if you opt out on denying your mind, your will, and your emotions, and crucifying your flesh, taking up your cross. You cannot opt out on that. So the power of godliness is self-denial. There's so many scriptures on this, I'm surprised when people don't realize this, because he makes it clear. He shows all the things that are contrary towards self-denial, and they're all narcissism. Each one is narcissism. Each thing that he talks about is narcissism, right? So we see that here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This also know, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, narcissism, selfishness, boasters, narcissism. It says lovers of their own self, selfishness, covetousness, selfishness, boasters, selfishness, proud, selfishness, blasphemous, selfishness, because your spirit's telling you not to do that, disobedient to your parents, selfishness, unthankful, selfishness, unholy, selfishness, without natural affection, selfishness, covenant breakers, selfishness, false accusers, selfishness, incontent, never happy, never satisfied, selfishness, fierce, despisers of those that are good, selfishness, traitors, haughty-minded, lovers of pleasure, selfishness, rather than lovers of God, which is unselfishness. Because Jesus said that if you're going to follow him in Matthew, and I got a cat in here, Matthew 16:24, Jesus said unto his disciple, whosoever wants to be my disciple must deny his soul, his mind, will, and emotions, take up his cross, and follow me. Taking up the cross is talking about crucifying the flesh. So if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, a prerequisite to it is you've got to deny yourself. The power of godliness is that Jesus says you can't even be his disciple, and he tells you how to be his disciple. So what he is doing is he's going to grade the test, but he gives you the answer to the test. He said, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, you've got to start off with denying yourself. So self-denial is freedom. It frees you from narcissism. It frees you from the things of this world. A person that just has a bumper sticker on their car or carries a Bible or wears the cross but lives after the world, this is a false form of Christianity, because the power of godliness is denying yourself. Now, the Holy Spirit desires for you to do that, and He tells you to do that. But see, the Holy Spirit isn't going to override you, because God has created you as a free will agent. And when the Lord says you're to love the Lord with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, but before I go there, well, I'll go there right now. Jesus said you're to love the Lord with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. Let me get something to drink here. So that is, where is this from? That's from Matthew, two different places, but Matthew 22, okay, Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Now, he says heart, soul, and mind here, but understand, he's just emphasizing it twice, because the Koinonia Greek literally means the word soul, psuche. It is the word mind, will, and emotion. Psuche is the word we get a psyche from, or psychology from. It's the understanding of how your mind works, your emotions, and your will. This is what it's a study of, humans, their human nature. But understand, that's a backwards paradigm, because we are not humans having a spiritual experience, but the Bible says we're spirits having a human experience, because we're created in the image of God. And God, the Bible says, is the Spirit and seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we're like them, these free will. So the idea that God has created some people to go to hell and others to go to heaven, which is Calvinism, it is in opposition, it's in a polar opposite, it's diametrically opposed to the example God gives you. God is free will. God doesn't have to do good, but He doesn't. Jesus had a free will to demonstrate to us a person could live in this earth, resist sin, and submit themselves to God. Jesus did that. He was completely God, manifest in the flesh. But He said, not my will, but thy will be done. He brought His will under submission to the will of the Father. Jesus was free will. And when He saved you, before you were even saved for that matter, all people were created with free will. Why? Because they're created in the image of God. Now, God didn't blow into man air, because God is not a human. He is a spirit. Bible says it. John says that. He says that God is a spirit and seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. So if we're created in the image of God, then it stands to reason that we are spirits. Now, we're a spirit wrapped in a soul living in a body. That is the modality of how things work and where we should be operating from. So in John, that is in Matthew 22, 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So your will is a part of your soul. That's the strongest thing in the universe for obedience. It's the greatest and most powerful part of you. And as I've explained before, you go do the work yourself. We've covered it a million times here ad nauseum, where the Bible says in Proverbs, it says, if you discipline, spank your child. In some translations, says beat him. But either way, it doesn't matter. But obviously, we're not talking like, you know, beating upside their head or something. It's talking about spanking them. It says, but if you beat your child, you'll save their soul from death. From hell, actually. Pardon me. Let me correct that. It says from hell. Now, hell, as we understand, according to the scripture, it's everlasting fire. It actually says that in the book of Jeremiah, just not the New Testament. He talks about throwing the wicked into everlasting flames. Everlasting. Everlasting is how long? It's forever. So understand, the soul is therefore has to be, it has to be immortal. It has to be, okay? It has to be eternal in its essence, the soul. The soul is the real you. We made it mystical. We made it ambiguous. But wisdom is not to mystify, which means to make something convoluted or complex or hard to understand. Okay, really not convoluted, but I'd say the same thing, but complex or confusing or hard to understand. But wisdom is to simplify, to put the cookies on the lower shelf where the kiddies can get them. Because what good is preaching if people don't understand what you're talking about? So we want to do that and make it simple. So it says right here, Matthew 22, 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul. With all your mind. And the word here, soul, is mind, will, and emotions. Most powerful way you can serve God is your will. So if you're going to follow Jesus, He's already told you the prerequisites. There's no opting out on that you're going to have to deny yourself. So denial, self-denial is the path to freedom. Understand something. You know, I have a Christian ministry, but I get up out of bed and I preach and I study and I prepare for my ministry. See, self-denial, it results in freedom. I've owned several businesses in my life. Self-denial, that is discipline, results in freedom. I pastored in 8 churches in my life. Discipline ends always in freedom. It brings freedom to your life, okay? If you're going to sit around and eat ho-hos all day and stay on the internet all day long, then obviously your body's not going to be working right, your mind's not going to be thinking right, you're not going to be able to articulate, pontificate, and elaborate with the best of them, which you ought to be able to because you're created in the image of God, and God wrote the Bible, so he has no problems, and he doesn't stutter over words, he is the word. So if you want to have a maximum life, you need to eat well, you need to exercise, because I've already talked about it, you're not a spiritual person if you are not taking care of the body that God has given to you. You have to, the word literally holy means to be whole. People that are just speaking in tongues all the time, but they're watching television while they're speaking in tongues all the time, all day long, or they're just undisciplined in life. The person's not holy, because even the word salvation has to do with wholeness. That's the etymology of these words, if you want to get the Bible involved in this. So whole means you're a whole person. Well, listen, then you ought to take care of your body. You ought to take care of your cardiovascular system, your respiratory system. Well, but Pastor John, I can't do that. That's a lack of what? Self-denial. What did Jesus say is a prerequisite of following him? Self-denial. So the power of godliness is you say no to sin. Case in point, get the scriptures involved with this. What does he say in the scripture? I'm going to now quote. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. So, self-denial, resisting the devil, that's self-denial. See, you can't be a follower of Jesus if you don't deny yourself. So here he says in James, submit yourself therefore to God. What is God? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not hate your brother. Thou shalt not speak evil against your neighbor, right? That is submitting yourself to God. If you're not doing that, you're in rebellion to God. If you're obeying that, you're submitting yourself to God. Now, James makes it clear about this. In James chapter 4, verse 17, he articulates this point. He says, to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's evil. So what is James saying? We consider it a wisdom book. He's telling you, if you know what's right, then do it. That's what he's saying. Don't make any excuses. So understand that in the end times, people are going to not live lives of self-control. They're going to have lasciviousness. That is, they've taken away all restraints. Listen, you can't get rid of restraint. You can't get rid of restraint when it comes to eating, when it comes to leisure, with anything. You're going to have to be a disciplined person. Listen. I've had several different businesses over my life, I pastored 8 different churches, and success doesn't come by laziness. You have to understand you're the sum total of your own choices. God created you in his image. He is free will, and so are you. So things aren't going to happen to your life randomly. People don't accidentally, incidentally go to heaven, and other people don't accidentally or incidentally go to hell. We make choices, and our choices make us. That's tough talking, but it's the truth. And God, yes, he'll give you grace and mercy because he gives grace to us if we humble ourselves. Now, if we're all full of ourselves and we think we're all that in a bag of chips, then God can resist the proud and we can actually not have the strength that we need. Now, the strength that we have isn't something we feel. It's something that the word says that God will give to those who are humble. So the reality is if you fulfill the requirements of humility, then you've got grace. Whether you feel it or not, it's there to help you and strengthen you. You need to do something, though. That's what God says. And as we just gave you an example here, getting the word of God involved in it, James chapter 4, verse 7, he says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. So when the Bible says resist the devil, then what do you do if you're going to submit yourself to God? Resist the devil. That's right. That's what you do. And then he says, submit yourself to God. That's a part of resisting the devil. Submit yourself to God. Well, somebody is like, well, I'm not going to forgive that brother. Well, guess what? If you resist the devil in other areas, that's not going to work because you got to first submit yourself to God. Forgive your brother. And let's say now that you're sitting there and you're robbing your employees. Now you're resisting the devil in this area and that area, but that's not going to work because you've got to first submit yourself to God. You've got to take and pay your employees the right amount of pay. So the problem is people want to resist the devil, but he's not going anywhere because as long as you're in agreement with him, he doesn't have to pay attention to you. And so let's see it again. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Again, there's the prerequisite of following Jesus, denying yourself. You're going to have to resist the devil. That's right. Discipline equals freedom. I've always taught that. I've taken that from a brother in the Lord. I believe he's a brother. I'm not really sure, but he's an intelligent man. And I've been teaching this for years, but I like that phrase that he uses. Discipline equals freedom. I agree with him 100%. And that's a spiritual principle. Jesus taught that. Guess what? He didn't come up with that idea. Jesus did. Because he right here, what does he say? What does the scripture say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What does that say? Discipline equals freedom. That's right. 100%. And therefore, I have practiced this life, this in my life. I no longer do this as a Christian. I got out of doing this for various and sundry reasons, but I used to and still do hold a third-degree black belt in Kenpo Karate. I'm an instructor in Panjak Salat and the Kali, the art Kali, also known as Arnis, which is a Filipino martial art. I am a jiu-jitsu instructor. And also, I'm an instructor of progressive fighting systems under Paul Vunak. And I trained with him personally because he lived in Orange County. And I studied 3 years under Jerry Witzler and to get my full instructorship under in both of those. Is a jiu-jitsu instructor. And it's a modified jiu-jitsu system for like the streets and stuff. Paul Vunak is an instructor under the Gracies, as I understand. So anyways, I haven't even been keeping up on him. But so I did all that stuff, right? Plus, I was an amateur boxer, martial artist for around 3 years. Well, let me tell you something. I said all this. Listen, did any of that help me? Sure it did. Why? Because, you know, like one gentleman, when I was a young man, I went in to put an application in for a painting company. He understood that I was a black belt, and he said, is it true that you're a black belt? I said, yes, it is. He said, you're hired. And I thought, well, that's strange. He said, look, he himself, it was Jim Veronick and Steve Veronick, both of them were like fifth-degree black belts, at least I think that they were, and we're saying that for accuracy because we're not sure of all of that, but he was, I believe, a fifth-degree, at least fifth or third-degree black belt in Sansu Kung Fu, him and his brother, and he's like, you know, John, I'm a black belt in Sansu, but I think he said fifth degree black belt in Sansu. And he goes, I understand that you have discipline, you're hired. And see, that's what he literally said. No problem about it. Just you're hired. Why? Because he understood that you can't achieve that first place if you can't believe that, and then you can't receive it unless you don't discipline yourself. There's principles as this world goes by. Listen, you have to discipline yourself to prayer, to pray. Prayer is a discipline. That's got to do, that has to do with the following Jesus, okay? If you're going to follow me, you must deny your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your flesh. Your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your flesh don't want to pray. So freedom in prayer equals discipline. If you're not going to discipline yourself, you're not going to pray for an hour. If you're not going to discipline yourself, you're not going to study the word. Literally, that's the way it is. I go to the gym. I work out up to 2 hours. Yesterday, I rode on an elliptical bike for like an hour, 15 to 20 minutes or so. Okay. After having weightlifted for a good amount of time, I can spend up to 2 hours inside of the gym at a time, sometimes just working the upper body. I don't do like these guys that just work out for muscle, trying to heavy lift. I work out like as an Iron Man. In other words, cardiovascular respiratory system. Why? Because the body that is a tabernacle that I'm living in is my tabernacle. And if this thing is not working correct, then I can't come here on my program after I just finished a program where I might have taught for like an hour and 30 minutes, where I sometimes even preach and do lectures for up to 3 hours. The reason I do that is because you're a spirit. And even though your intellect can't understand everything, your spirit is incredible and it can receive way much more. And so spirit capacity has to do with, Jesus said, he that's faithful in little will be faithful in much, and he that's unfaithful in little will be unfaithful in much. So I preach for hours sometimes. Why? Because your spirit capacity is incredible. People have a 5 minute potential, or more potential, not to get hours potential, but people have about a 5 minute span of focus. You know why? That's their spirit capacity. They got a 5 minute spirit capacity. I hope that you got more than a 5 minute spirit capacity, because if you want to go deeper and wider and further and higher, then you're going to have to expand your spirit. And again, you are a spirit. So you may think, well, I just don't have the intellect for that. Well, you're right. You don't have an intellect. I'm preaching to your spirit, because you are a spirit wrapped in a soul, living in a body. And I know that what I'm teaching can transform your life. And that's why I guarantee that somebody who listens to this programs and hears the word of God regularly is going to get free. Because Jesus said, he said this, you're my disciples. Again, you're not his disciple if you're not doing this. If my word abides in you and I abide in you. And he said, then he said, if you abide in my word and my word abides in you. I'm quoting that incorrectly. He says, if you abide in my word and my word abides in you, then you'll know the truth. It'll become intimate to you and it'll free you. Listen, you experience freedom through intimacy through the word. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, people are like, how do I experience sanctification and freedom in my life? Well, the answer is in the word of God. Where else would you look for it? When you get the Bible involved, what does it say in chapter 1, verse 22 of 1 Peter? He says, seeing or understanding or discerning, seeing ye have purified your soul. Who did it? You did. Seeing ye have purified your soul, ye is you, seeing ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth. There you go. In other words, you've done what God's word said, and it changed your soul. You've got to do something for something to happen. That is a reality in physics, and it's a reality in the spirit realm. You reap what you sow. Wow, look at that. Scripture actually says that. That's right. Yes, it does. So, this is where we're going with this. And so freedom is when we choose to obey God and we do what he says. Doesn't that make sense? Of course it does. It makes a whole lot of sense. So here you go. There's the message for today. Love you all. Thank you for following the podcast as well. Share it with others. Please download the messages, because that way you can listen to them at work, or while you're driving, you're on a trip, you're on a vacation, you can get the word and then listen. You need to read the word and hear the word, then meditate on the word, and then you need to do the word. As James chapter 1 verse 22 tells us, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. If you want to see your soul free, you got to obey the word that you have. Pastor John, Shalom.